I'll make it easy on you.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
You're listening to Business Talk Radio, where we take business to the next level.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Louis Michelson at Business Talk Radio, and we have one of my favorite guests on today from Bayville, New Jersey, tax resolution specialist. He is the IRS slayer, Peter Marciano Jr. How are we doing, Pete?
Hey, Lou, how are you? I like that, the IRS slayer. I got to start using that. I told you, I'll give you royalties. That's very good. I like that.
Well,
If
it works, I'll take them. But if it doesn't work, it's okay.
Exactly. Well, I appreciate that. But yeah, nice to be with you, Lou.
All right. So I see that you want to cover some specific topics. We're not going to be jumping all over the place.
Lou, it's your show. We'll do whatever you want to do.
No, it's your show. I do whatever you want to do.
I appreciate that.
All right. So tell us some of the reasons why taxpayers, like anybody, gets in trouble with the IRS.
Well, first of all, a lot of times people have this idea in their head that, like, people who have IRS problems are bad people. They don't pay their taxes. They're hiding out. They're unscrupulous, et cetera, et cetera. And really, nothing could be farther from the truth. What happens is, Lou, life happens. You know, as an example, you know, somebody, they get a divorce. Well, when you get a divorce, your financial situation changes. You know, you have this child support involved a lot of times, alimony, and that affects, that could affect your ability to pay your taxes. All of a sudden, now you have a tax problem. You could lose your job, and that can happen to anybody. Anybody could, you know, lose their job, and that causes, not to be able to pay your taxes. You could, you know, as a business owner, and we see this a lot, business owners, their business all of a sudden is not doing as well as it once was, now they're not in a position to pay their taxes. And most of the time with businesses, I find that that's where a lot of the people who do have tax problems are business owners that, they don't pay their quarterly estimates because they got to pay the rent, they got to do this, they got to do that. And the taxes, for some reason, always seem to get put on the back burner. You know, I'll catch up next month or whatever. And before you know it, the year is over and they've got nothing paid in, and now they can't pay their tax bill, and now they've got a problem. People get sick, they have medical issues, things happen, they got high medical bills, the taxes, all of a sudden they can't pay their taxes. So these are things that just happen, that are, you know, good, they're bad things that happen to good people, and it causes them, you know, to have the IRS all of a sudden knocking on their door, sending them letters, et cetera, et cetera. And, that's really some of the main reasons why people do get into trouble with the IRS. Just life happens.
That's for sure. And, boy, it does happen, especially now.
And I know you spoke about, last week, week before, about your situation with the IRS. Came on, knocking on your door one time, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Just happened. You're a good guy. Things just happen.
That's what happens. You know, it just was something that happened. It was when I had the operation, and boom, I was out for I left my truck on the driveway. I sent them the paper in that I wasn't working, the truck wasn't working, and they didn't care. They came and knocked on my door anyway.
Right, so you had a medical problem. That was one of the things I just discussed. That was your reason for having. You're
right.
A good guy. Just had some medical problems, and it caused you to have difficulties with your taxes, and you ended up getting it settled. But these are things that. These are things that happen to people through no fault of their own, and this is what causes them to get in the crosshairs of the IRS.
All right, so tell us, and I can't even guess, who is able to help when a taxpayer needs help?
Well, in order to represent a taxpayer before the IRS, you either have to be a CPA, which is a certified public accountant. I'm sure everybody knows what that is. An EA, which is an enrolled agent, which is a license that is issued by the IRS after you pass the IRS special enrollment examination, or an attorney. I am myself, I'm a CPA and an EA, so I can practice in all 50 states with the IRS. So those are the only three people that can represent taxpayers before the IRS. What I mean by that is, you know, cut a deal or negotiate or even speak to the IRS on behalf of a client. So you need to have – so someone out there is looking for help. You need to – you want to, it's going to be a CPA, an EA, or an attorney. Not, and not all are qualified to – even though they may be able to, they probably they may not be qualified to work to represent a taxpayer. So you, you need specialized knowledge in this area and kind of knowing how the IRS works. I equate the IRS, navigating the IRS, if you ever see the New York City subway map, that's kind of how the IRS is, with all the different departments and divisions and et cetera, et cetera. It's a maze. As a matter of fact, I have a hand that in my office here. If somebody tells me they want to navigate the IRS on their own, I hand them a copy of that. I wish them good luck, you know, and they see all the different. It literally looks like a subway map. It's that intricate. But so you need to have the proper representation when someone is looking for help with dealing with the IRS.
So you said that a CPA, or what is the other thing, an EA?
EA stands for enrolled agent. That's a certificate given by the IRS. You have to pass their test. It's a 3-part test on all about taxes and, you know, business taxes, individual taxes, and representation. And once you pass that, then you're licensed by the IRS as an enrolled agent. CPA is a certified public accountant. Those are licensed by the state, and then an attorney is an attorney.
So the EA is given. Is that actually is given by the IRS?
Yes, that's the IRS is the issuer of the enrolled agent license. That's going to be renewed every 2 years. You have to take continuing education classes throughout that period, et cetera, et cetera. You have to hold yourself out to the ethical standards, certain ethical standards, et cetera, et cetera. So. So I have both. I have the CPA, and I wanted to take the enrolled agent exam. I did that a few years ago, just because I wanted to be more, more well versed, if that's proper English, in this field, the taxpayer representation field, and that's I'm very happy I did it.
So you're actually a doctor of the IRS slayers.
Okay, well, if you want to say that, I like representing the underdog, the little guy, and going up against the IRS. It's challenging, but it's very rewarding. I've told you the stories of people that have been in here literally when I told them some of the results that we got, just start breaking down, crying. They couldn't believe it. And I've said this many times, when you have an IRS problem, Lou, you have a life problem. It's not just like any other type of problem. The IRS has far-reaching hands. They can do things to you that other creditors can't. They can come in and levy your bank account. They can garnish your wages. They can take your house. They can, file a lien against you so you can't buy or sell anything. So they can make your life, a living hell, for lack of a better word. And when you get that off your back, it's like an adrenaline rush, and it's people are just, it's like they take a big sigh of relief, a big, exhaling, and, you can't put a price on that. I really, I get great joy out of doing that for people.
Absolutely. That's got to be a wonderful feeling. I think it's a more wonderful feeling for the people that you got out of trouble.
Oh, yeah, because the IRS will push you around. Believe me, if the IRS says, "Hi, I'm the IRS, and I'm here to help you," you want to run for the hills. They're not there to help you. Believe me, they may come across as nice, and they are nice people to work with, or some of them are. Not everybody. Like in any walk of life, you have some people that are easy to work with, some are not. But believe me, there's a message behind what they're doing, that's why you don't even want to speak to the IRS, because what happens is they'll be engaging you in conversation. You'll think it's just small talk, but in reality, they're fishing for information that they can use against you down the road. So, you could give it to them unwittingly without even knowing it. So, because they're trained to ask questions in a certain way to get you to incriminate yourself without even knowing you're doing that. As an example, say a lot of times businesses have payroll tax problems where they don't pay their payroll taxes, and that's just, you know, that's a penalty where they can go after you personally as well, because it's really not your money, it's the employee's money. You're in a fiduciary capacity to turn that money over to the IRS. And they could ask you something like, yeah, so when did you become aware that you weren't paying your payroll taxes? And then they'd be like, oh, you know, I think it was like last month or whatever. Now they say, so now you're aware of the, you can't go back and say, I didn't know about it, because you just told them you were aware last month that it wasn't getting paid. But the way they ask the question, you don't really realize that you're saying that. You know, things like that. So that's why you never really want to speak to the IRS without professional representation, because you could incriminate yourself without even knowing you're doing it. They're very skilled at asking questions like that. So you got to really be careful.
I know last week you told me about the lady that wanted to write off part of her house.
The home office, yes.
The home office, yeah. And the IRS came in and said, you kids come in here and watch TV?
Right, exactly. Exactly. She said, oh, yeah, my daughter comes in here, whatever, you know. And she didn't say anything, and then a week later she gets a letter that the home office was denied, the home office deduction was denied. And she was, you know, she couldn't believe it. And I said, and then I explained, I just said, you can't talk to the IRS, because they're going to ask you questions that you're going to think they're just, you know, in part of a routine conversation, but they're really not. They're fishing for information to hang you out to dry. And that's exactly what happened to that lady. This is going back many years, but yeah, that's exactly what happened to her. She was, you know, and she didn't want me to represent her because she thought this lady was so nice. They were getting along great, you know, and like I said, the IRS is not your friend. They're not your friend. They're not there to help you.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. All righty. So what programs does the IRS have to help taxpayers solve their problems?
Well, you know, Lou, there are several programs out there. I think the one that everybody's probably heard of, and you hear all these commercials on TV, these big companies, they tout the offer in compromise. And what an offer in compromise means is that you're basically settling your IRS debt for less than what you owe. You owe $100,000, you settle it for $10,000. You're settling it for, you know, less than what you owe. But unfortunately, most people do not qualify for this program. Maybe about a third of the people that apply or that I see probably are good candidates, because the IRS is not going to take an offer in compromise if they can do better. They're only going to do that if they feel that that's the best they can do. Everybody's circumstances are different, you know, so it's hard to really just give you a blanket statement while we're talking here. But basically, the less you have and the more you owe, the better your chances are for an offer in compromise. But if you have if you own a home and you have equity in your home that you can tap, or you've got money in the bank, or you've got you own rental property or things like that, if they can get that money, or if they can tell you to sell your rental property, if that would be more than your offer, they're not going to take your offer. So you really have to be in a situation where you had one of those circumstances that I described earlier about divorce or medical problems, you lose your job. Now you're in a different situation. You don't have the income to pay. You don't have the assets. You lost your job. You had to liquidate your assets. So, you know, those are the circumstances where, you know, they'll take it. Or if you have to submit, you know, personal financial documents, et cetera, and if, you know, your personal financial documents show that you can pay, you know, X amount of dollars a month. Well, if that amount is more than what you're offering, they're probably not going to take your offer because they can take a monthly payment from you. But of course, you might not be able to make the monthly payment throughout the period. So there's a lot of things that have to be considered. It's not really cut and dry, you know, but, you know, payment plans are a common way to go. You know, we try to do that, you know, get as much penalty abatement as we can if that situation is, you know, is available to us. And when you have, you know, when you're in an installment agreement, properly structured installment agreement, the penalty for the late payment is cut in half, which is good. And then there's also something with the IRS. They have a program which is called currently not collectible, which is probably if you can't get an offer and compromise the place you want to be. Currently not collectible means that you just can't pay anything. You're not in a position, you don't have any money to pay them, and they leave you alone. The debt's still there. They leave you alone, but the clock, the collection clock is ticking. The IRS has basically 10 years to collect from the time they assess your taxes. Now, there are what are called tolling events, things that can extend the statute, like filing an offer and compromise. That extends the statute because while the offer is pending, they can't do anything to you. So they tack it on to the back end. But for the most part, you know, 10 years is what they have to collect. And, you know, a lot of times we set up payment plans where they're going to pay, but the statute will run out before they've paid their full amount. So that's called a partial pay installment plan. And then the currently not collectible, which I just brought up, they leave you alone. And then what they'll do is they'll look at your tax return every year, and if it's pretty much the same, they're just going to leave you alone. And what'll happen is if you have a windfall or something happens, say you were out of work when you got into the currently not collectible status, but now you're working, you're making money, they may take you out of currently not collectible status and try to collect some money from you. But again, time has gone by. Now they have less time to collect. So when you're in that currently not collectible position, that's a strong position to be in. From an IRS standpoint, as far as them not being able to touch you. And the other thing is, sometimes bankruptcy is an option. If the taxes are older, they can be discharged in bankruptcy. That we always consult with an attorney, of course, on that. But that's also an option to have taxes removed is filing bankruptcy. Of course, that has other repercussions that come with it. But, you know, those are basically the offer and compromise, properly structured installment agreements, partial pay installment agreements, you know, the currently not collectible status, penalty abatement, and bankruptcy. We'll fit a combination of that or one of those or a combination into our resolution plan.
Sounds great. All right, Peter, we're going to break for a quick commercial.
Very good.
This is Louis Michelson from Business Talk Radio. We have a wonderful tax solution specialist, the Tax Slayer, Peter Marciano. Don't leave us. We will be right back.
Do you want better health with natural solutions that work? East Wind Acupuncture, a 20-year traditional Chinese medicine clinic in Chesterton, Indiana, does just that, offering acupuncture, herbs, massage therapy, and nutritional support. East Wind has helped thousands of people eliminate symptoms and regain health. They offer a comprehensive health review, Chinese medical exam including tongue and pulse diagnosis, and customized treatments designed for optimum results. They also offer educational programs, lifestyle classes, and workshops. For more information or to schedule your free health consultation, visit the website ewacupuncture.com or call 219-395-9928. East Wind Acupuncture, restoring health naturally.
Hey road cyclist, do you want a real adventure? How about a week-long vacation in Tuscany or Lake Como, Italy? Cyclobella Italia tours are so much more than just great cycling. Come and enjoy not only cycling, but all the best in food, wine, sightseeing, and la dolce vita in Italy. Go to the website cyclobellaitalia.com to register for the Cyclobella Italia newsletter filled with interesting information about Italy and the tours. Visit the website to view the photo gallery of prior tours and learn more about the fantastic cycling experience with Cyclobella Italia. Email Joe at cyclobellaitalia.com or phone 480-353-6660. Cyclobella Italia. Ride, eat, drink, live.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
You're listening to Business Talk Radio, where we take business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody, and good afternoon. This is Louis Michelson at Business Talk Radio. We have a wonderful guest speaker today, the tax resolution specialist, the IRS Slayer, Peter Marciano. All right, Pete. You with me?
Yes, I am, Lou.
Oh, thought I lost you there for a second.
No, scared never, Lou, never.
Okay, so we just went over how you can get your problem solved, basically. And Now, what happens if couples together for a long time and one works and the other one doesn't work and all of a sudden they get into problems and they get a divorce?
Well, not even necessarily a divorce, but you just I just chuckled because you'd be surprised how many times this happens a lot when the husband has a business and the wife's not involved really in anything to do with the tax. She just basically signs her name and, you know, that's it. And the husband gets involved in various activities, whatever. He doesn't pay his taxes. All of a sudden, they have this big tax bill, and you know the wife knew nothing about it. She didn't know anything about it. Nor should known anything about it. She just, you know, she just signs her name on the form, and that's really it. So they have what is called the IRS has a program called Innocent Spouse Relief. Okay, and if you can show the IRS that you didn't know anything about this situation, nor should you have known about it, you didn't know, you didn't benefit from it, you didn't know anything about it, then you can not be you can be put in a position where you're not held liable for the taxes that your spouse would owe. Most of the time, it's the husband who, you know, has the business, and the wife is not involved at all, and he's not paying his estimated payments. He's making money, and he's not fulfilling his tax obligations properly. And what happens is, the spouse. So the IRS feels it's not fair to hold the spouse liable for a debt that she knew nothing about and she had nothing to do with creating. So it's a tough hurdle to come across. To pass, but it is available. Now, there's something called injured spouse. There's a difference. There's an injured spouse and there's an innocent spouse. An injured spouse is a situation where they were not involved with their spouse when their spouse got into some trouble. For example, a lot of times the spouse may have had prior tax problems and before they had gotten together. Well, now the current spouse would not be liable for that. Or let's say, as an example, the one spouse may have defaulted on their student loan or anything like that, and the IRS is going to keep the refund to apply against that. There's a form you can file with the return, an injured spouse form, where the injured spouse will not be her part of the refund will be given to her, and just the refund portion of the spouse who's responsible is kept. So they try to protect spouses that are they're not involved or in creating the tax liability, or they were not in they did not know the taxpayer when the problem occurs. That's the injured spouse, and the innocent spouse is the one where it occurred while they were married, but she knew nothing about it, nor should she have known anything about it. You know, it's one thing if she knew about it, even though she had nothing to, then she's not innocent. You know, in other words, if she knew what the husband was doing and she just went along with it, then she's not an innocent spouse because she knew what was going on. It's where you had no idea, nor did you. Well, should you have known thing is always that's the IRS. They say, well, you should have known. But, you know, so that's where we have the argument going back and forth. No, she shouldn't have known. She couldn't have known. So that's the negotiation part. But those are the programs that they have. The innocent spouse and the injured spouse are two that the IRS has there that we utilize when we feel we have a shot at success with them.
Sounds great. Sounds great for the spouse who's not involved.
Exactly, and not involved and knew and did not know or should not have known. See, you cannot be involved, but if you know, you're not going to be granted innocent spouse. You know, if you know your husband's making all this money and you're spending it and enjoying the fruits of that, you're not innocent. It's where you didn't know anything about it, nor should you have known anything about it. That's a tough hurdle to overcome, but it can be done.
All right. Well, what's your advice now for people who haven't filed in quite a few years?
Well, you know, interestingly, a lot of times those are the kind of clients that we get to start with because they haven't filed in years and they're getting a little nervous, or they may have gotten a letter saying that you haven't filed. Not filing your return is the worst thing you can do. The IRS penalties for not filing are so much greater than if you file and don't pay. I always tell somebody, let's just get the returns filed. Don't worry about paying. We'll cut a deal. We'll come up with a resolution for that. But you have to get your returns filed and get in. You have to get back into the system. And, you know, at some point, you know, if you want to do something, if you want to buy a house, if you want to borrow money to buy a car, if you want to, you know, get a mortgage or refinance, you need to have tax returns that have been filed. So being a non-filer, and I think people are a lot of times they're afraid to file because they don't have the money to pay. So they figure, well, I'm just not going to file, and, you know, it'll just go away. But that's not going to happen. And what the IRS will do, and I see this all the time, they will prepare the return for you based on the information they have. They call that an SFR return, a substitute for return. And believe me, if the IRS is filing a return for you, they're not going to file it to your advantage. They're going to, you know, just report all your income, give you no deductions, use the married filing separate rate, which is the worst you can do, and your tax situation is going to be a lot worse if you had filed your return. And many times that's actually how we get somebody into the system, is that the IRS will prepare their return and send them a bill, which would be probably 10 times higher than it would normally be, or maybe not 10 times higher, but it will be substantially higher than it normally would be. So we're allowed to actually file an actual return and override what the IRS prepared. But that's another way they get you to file returns, is that they prepare them for you and then send you a bill. And so, you know, and you know what else is interesting? So, you know, with this whole stimulus, you talk about non-filers, people haven't filed in years. Well, you know, now they want to get their $1,200. So what has the IRS done? They've created an area on their website, the IRS website, where you can enter your banking information into the system to get your $1,200. So, you know, the IRS are no dummies. So now what do they have? They've got all these people who haven't filed. They've got their banking information. So if they need to go in there and levy an account at some point, you know, when they get back to business in July or whatever, now they have the banking information. So, you know, sometimes you're not seeing the forest through the trees, as they say. So now the IRS has all these bank accounts information that they didn't have before. Now all these people they can go after, you know, when they're allowed to start going after them again, July 15th, as of now. So, you know, that's going to be that's going to be interesting to see.
And if you need a job, they're probably going to be hiring, because they need a lot of agents.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because they have been doing that. They've hired several thousand new agents. This is the first time in a decade or so that the IRS has actually had a budget increase. I guess they finally figured out that, you know, every dollar they give to the IRS, they get $10 back. So they were given $400 million by Congress, an additional $400 million, which are basically being used. About 75% of that has been used to hire new agents, and the other 25% or so is to upgrade, modernize their systems, and so on and so forth. So they have hired several thousand agents, and I think they're continuing to hire. I think they're going to get to about 10,000 or so, because now they've been given the money to do so. And the new IRS commissioner, Chuck Reddick, he's a former tax attorney. He's an enforcement guy. So he's been on our side of the fence. So he's going to be coming after the taxpayers. It's going to it's going to be a free for all, and you know, we're here to help. We're ready, Lou.
Great. Speaking of which, give out your information on how to get in touch with you.
You can call my office, 732-606-9499. As a matter of fact, well, I've written a book. It's called Solve Your Tax Problem Now. I'd be happy to send anybody a copy free of charge. You can call my office. Call my office. You'll get my service. You can leave your name and address. I'll be happy to send it out to you. You can also email me, Pete at MarcianoCPA.com, PETEMARCIANOCPA.com. You can leave your information there. I'd be happy to send you out a copy. You can even request it on my website, TaxResolutionNJ, NewJersey.com. You can put your information in there, and we'll be happy to send you out. And we won't call you and harass you or things like that, like people try to do. We'll be happy to send it out to you. No cost. We'll pay the postage and everything. And it's a, you know, general guide on what's out there and how you can, you know, deal with the IRS or what's available to you. But it's important to get your problem solved sooner rather than later, because if you want to buy a home or a car, if you have a tax problem, if you can get financing at all, you're going to have a higher interest rate. So you want to do this stuff now so you can take care of when you want to buy a car or a house, your problem has been solved. Same thing if you already own a home. If you want to sell it, there's a tax lien on your home. You can't sell it without paying the IRS off. So, it also hurts your credit, your credit score, have a tax problem. And that can be detrimental, obviously. So, and the key is, though, Lou, once you have the problem resolved, you have to stick with it. You have to stay current. That's always a requirement with the IRS, is that when you have a tax problem solved, you have to stay current, because otherwise they're going to basically, especially with offer and compromise, they're going to just cancel it out. They're going to come after you again. So you got to stay current after the problem is resolved. They don't want to see you back in the same spot in 2 years.
Very good. All right, Pete. It's been wonderful talking to you, as usual.
My pleasure, Lou.
If you have any problems with the IRS or any other tax problems, filing, whatever it is, get in touch with the tax resolution specialist, the IRS slayer, Peter Marciano.
Thank you, Lou. I really appreciate it. It's been great. It's been a pleasure.
It always is. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. Don't leave us. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in, too.
You're listening to Business Talk Radio, where we take business to the next level.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.